Hey guys, thank you for tuning in to my podcast, Bella V Soul. This is your host, Bella. I know it's been a while since my last podcast recording, but your girl has been going through it. And not like all bad or anything, but I do want to talk about something that recently I found out about. And you know, with this lunar eclipse we just had, everything comes out in the open that hasn't come out in like the past 6 months or whatever. And you know, I feel like an idiot for not finding this out sooner, right? But anyways, it is what it is. But at the same time, I had a lot going on in my life at that time when this happened, so I could easily see how I totally missed this. But I found out last Monday that Dave Hollis passed away. And if you don't know who he is, you know, do a quick Google search. He was basically Rachel Hollis's ex-husband. And I found out about him through her because I used to follow her, you know, brand and everything. And I used to watch them every day on Facebook when they would do their Facebook lives. And I was just like, oh, I love them together. You know, they're such a cute couple and they just seem like the ideal, you know, couple. And I always looked up to both of them. And as it turns out, I think it was like 2 years later, because I started following them back in 2018. Okay. When I first started moving in Austin, and they also moved to Austin around that time. So I was like, oh, this is really cool. But anyways, but you know, I stopped following Rachel and Dave. Oh, I think I still follow her and him, but I just meant like not really keeping up with what they're doing, because shortly after they divorced, Dave started dating this new influencer who was also an influencer or whatever, named Heidi Powell. And it's funny because she's like my age. And I mean, like, I don't know. It's like we're all in the same age, except him. He's like a little bit older. But anyways, he was only 47, you guys. You know, it's just like, gosh, he was so young. But anyways, and by the way, like when I found out, I was literally laying in bed because I had just found that Rachel Hollis got engaged to her new man or whatever. And I was like, let me look up and see what's going on with Dave. And I think I found it on Reddit. Okay. Where somebody had said, oh, I read the Wall Street Journal article, you know, about Dave's senseless death. And I was like, what are they talking about? I was like, Dave died? I was like, no way. And I go online to look, and then Google says, yeah, he passed away on February 11th, 2023. And I started crying. Oh my God. Like, oh, I was just like trying to calm down because my brother, he could probably hear me. Like, you know, I live back with my parents again, and he was like in the next room, and I just didn't want to like bust out and be like, oh my God. But I was just like crying, and I was just like in shock, and I was just like, no way. Anyway, and it's so heartbreaking, you know, because he was a dedicated father. You know, he had four kids, and I really felt for him when they were going through that divorce, because I know what it's like to, you know, in a long-term relationship, of course, not a marriage, but for me, I was with the guy for almost 9-10 years. And so it took me 3 years to get over that relationship. So to see both Dave and Rachel move on from this marriage, like nothing, within months they were with other people, I was just like, really? You know, to each their own, but everybody has their own way of coping with things. But I just felt like, you know, especially them being in the self-help space, it's like you're not really walking the walk by showing people that it's okay to quickly move on from a relationship after, you know, a freaking marriage of like almost 20 years, you know, to just all of a sudden start dating somebody and get on a dating app, you know. It's just like, not to say that that's what both of them did, but one of them did that. And I'm just like, really? Anyway, I was just like, it takes time, you know, to heal from heartbreak. I mean, honestly, it took me 4 years to fully heal from my twin flame. And we were only together for 1 month. You know, but twin flame relationships are totally different because it's not like earthly, you know, karmic relationships that people go through in this lifetime. A twin flame connection is a relationship that, if you believe in past life like I do, has been happening over thousands of years. And we meet in each lifetime, even if it's for a brief moment, a lot has happened. And I'm at the point now where I don't cry anymore over him, you know, because a lot of times when we cry, it's like our pain is leaving our body through the tears. And so it took me like a week to even listen to Rachel's new podcast about her engagement, because I was just like, girl, I just found out Dave died. I don't want to hear about you, you know, gushing over your new, you know, British boyfriend or whatever. Oh my God, it just makes me sick, you know, because I mean, I just cannot believe that it happened. And then the aftermath of how people are coping with it when they were actually connected to him, you know what I mean? And so it is what it is, you know, I'm not judging. But at the same time, it's like, if you are putting yourself in a position of leadership and trying to influence people, this doesn't look good to show your audience, like, hey guys, this is how you cope with grief, and this is how you take your time to not just go to the next relationship right away after you have such a huge loss of a marriage that fell apart and you had a business together. And then also, you know, I've been watching this other YouTuber that she was also impacted by Dave's death. And I see her heart in it because she is a critic, but it's not like she is trying to be malicious. She's just doing what I like to do, is call people out on their BS. Like, hey, you're not walking your walk because you're telling us that you want to, you know, influence to do this, but then on the back end, you're doing XYZ that's like contradicting yourself. And if you guys are curious to watch her channel, definitely go do it. Her name is, I think her real name is Kayla O'Brien, but her podcast is called Kaya's World. And she is super funny. So I've been like watching all of her recent, you know, whatever, like episodes. But even, she didn't know him, she never met him either, you know, but she also was, she would look up to him, you know, and she would do her take on, okay, like, this is something that he showed us that he is going through, but, you know, but she, like, knows a lot about, you know, what they've been posting and stuff, because she's, like, she has a background in journalism, she even won an Emmy, you know, so she has some, you know, stuff to work with. And she's really good at it. But even Dave's death really impacted her. And like, I could even see in one of her episodes that she posted on YouTube, she almost started crying. Like, you could tell she was really affected by it because it affected all of us. Everybody was shocked. You know, as I'm finding out a whole year later. And it's just so tragic. But at the same time, it's like, I want to make sure that I am taking a beat from his teachings, you know, to make sure that I'm living my life to the fullest and that I'm not just thinking that I have all the time in the world, because we don't. And one of his last podcast episodes, it was so vulnerable what he shared, and a really touching episode. way of him, you know, showing us like how he finally was able to heal like a core wound that he had all the way from childhood. And I think that was good. I feel like that was God's way of showing him, you got to heal this. You know, this is an area of your life that you didn't even know that you needed to heal. And it was interesting for me too, because I could relate to what he was saying, because I went to church one time. It was actually recently after, I mean, shortly after I broke up with my ex of 8 years, I went to church the next day. And something the pastor said just really hit home. And I started crying, but it wasn't like a sad cry. It was like my soul was crying. And I couldn't help my body. You know, I was just like crying. And I was there with my neighbors at the time. And one of them, her name was Selena. And she was tapping me and like telling me, be quiet. And I'm like thinking, you're such a jerk. Like, really? And then my other neighbor, Tanya, was on my left. And she was like being more comforting and like rubbing my back. But oh my God, like I just felt like I had a death, honestly, because I did. I was with this person for most of my 20s. And all of a sudden, we broke up. Thank God we didn't have any kids. But, you know, it was still very, very hard. And I remember the preacher said, I think I even said this on my podcast before. He said something to the effect of, if you're hurting right now or if you're going through something, just know that God has you, you know, that he's putting his arms around you. And that is something that I needed to hear, you know. And even when I talk about it later and I tell people about it, how much it impacted me, because I actually felt God's love in that moment, it makes me want to cry, you know. But, you know, so anyways, I just felt like I could relate to what he was saying, because I've been there where I would be literally crying in service. And it's a little embarrassing, but, you know, that's your pain leaving your body, you know, when you're crying. And it's a way of cleansing your soul, right? Of whatever it is that you felt was holding you back from getting to that next level of healing. And I also think that the thing with Dave's situation is he was also dealing with addictions, you know, with drugs and alcohol. We didn't even know until later after he passed away. They did an autopsy and it turns out that he, it was an accidental overdose with a mix of alcohol, cocaine, and fentanyl was laced in his cocaine, apparently. And he already had heart problems on top of that. So it was just not good, right? Like it just didn't help the situation. But, and I'm not judging Dave, poor man. I just felt like he was in a very bad spot, because when you look at his life, you know, he came from success, and even on his own, right? Like he used to be a Disney executive, and he even wondered, why did I even get this job? Like other people are more qualified than I am. Because he was a little bit self-aware about what his limitations were and what he just felt really lucky, you know? And I think after a while, it's almost like the journey will test you sometimes and show you, okay, you've been successful, but now you're going through a hiccup. Well, what are you going to do to overcome that? And I feel like this is a tragedy, truly, because he really could have been a testimony to people who are addicts, you know, who are dealing with that disease, because it is a disease, you know. And he could have been able to help so many people, right? But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, he's still helping a lot of people. Even in his death, he's helping me, you know, because I'm starting to finally cement it in my mind, like, okay, I don't have all the time in the world, you know. Even like the year that I moved to Mexico for 6 months, when I went to my doctor and I got my eggs frozen, they were doing my sonogram and they said that I had a cyst in there, you know, and that was really scary. And thankfully, the next month after they did another sonogram, they were like, oh, it's gone, you know. But it's like, we never know. Something could be in our bodies that we don't even know. We probably don't even have any kind of symptom until it's already on its last stage, you know, and that's really scary. And I'm also thinking, like, I need to go ahead and schedule, like, my mammogram. I never had one done before. But, you know, got to do it because now I'm in my 40s. And, you know, that's one of the things that you have to do. And I just feel like with everything that happened, he is still having an impact, right? And I almost want to, like, make a website about him. You know, like, something really, like, dedicating it to him to honor his memory and, like, so that people can still see it. Because it's really sad that when you go to his old website now, it's not there. You know, it's gone. So, I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, maybe I'll do, like, I haven't even restarted my website recently anyways. But when I do, maybe I'll do, like, a little post, or I don't know, like a page dedicated to him. But and it's interesting that his last podcast too, because, you know, I'm very big on signs of the universe. His podcast had, like, numbers in front of it, and then the title would follow it. And this last one of his last podcasts that he did, it was number 229. And if you break that down, that's pretty much 2, and then 29 breaks down to 11. And 211 was the day that he passed away. Anyway, so I thought that was very interesting. And I'm over here, like, mind blown that did nobody that was close to him listen to that podcast and been like, dude, I need to reach out to him. Like, he's not doing well. Like, he's broken. We need to give him help. Because I almost feel like that was also his cry for help too. And I'm just like, if somebody says that I'm close to and they're upset and they're crying, I mean, he did put a positive spin on it, but I would still feel like I need to reach out to him. Like, I got to check up on Dave, you know? Like, if I was his close friend, I would have been one of the first people to call him. I don't know. And it's like, I don't know what his life was like. I don't know who he had in his life at that time. But it's just heartbreaking, you know, to know that he felt alone. But I feel like in that moment, he realized that he's really not alone, because God was showing him that you don't have to do anything to be loved. You can just be who you are, and you're loved anyways, you know. And so if you haven't listened to that podcast, definitely do so. Let me look it up and see what it's called. I should have done this before I started recording, but it was a really good podcast. But it's on Spotify. Where's my Spotify? All right, so it's called You Are Worthy of Unconditional Love, and his podcast is called Rise Together Podcast. And so I really appreciated how vulnerable he was on that podcast, because he even started crying in that podcast, and I was just like, oh my gosh, poor guy. And that's part of the reason why I stopped following him back then. I stopped following him, like, back in 2022 while I was in Mexico, because I felt a bit frustrated that I was just like, dude, you didn't take the time to heal from your divorce, and now you're probably gonna have to deal with the breakup of the girlfriend. And that's exactly what ended up happening. It was like a double whammy, where he had a lot of pent up pain that he hadn't processed from the divorce, and then dealing with the breakup of the girlfriend. That's like, that's a lot for anybody to deal with. And if he's already dealing with an addiction, you know what I mean? That's like the perfect storm, you know? And it's really hard for an addict to just cope with something of that magnitude. And what they tend to do, because it's a disease, is numb. I want to numb the pain. I don't want to feel this pain. And it's tragic that whoever he trusted had, you know, with this, whatever drugs that he took, it's like, we're not, you know, like the average person, like we are, we're not chemists, you know, so we don't know what they're putting in these things. But apparently, it's an epidemic where they keep putting, you know, fentanyl in these drugs. And it's like, dude, oh my gosh. So it's just best to steer clear of drugs altogether. Okay. Like, make running your drug, you know, something healthy. Make it your drug, right? Something that pushes you to be better and a healthy way of coping with whatever you're dealing with. Because my heart just goes out to him, because I was just like, I knew this was going to happen. And I think that's why I stopped following him, because I was like, I don't want to be a witness to whatever's going to happen that he's trying to avoid. Is all going to come down, you know, it's all going to come crumbling down on anybody. It's not just him. He's not the only human on the planet that would do something like this. We've all done it to a certain capacity, you know. You know, some people might jump right back into a relationship after dealing with a heartbreak, but I didn't do that. I'm not saying I'm better. I'm just saying, like, I just knew me, and I knew that I needed to take the time to be by myself, to really take a beat and not just jump into the next thing, you know, because sometimes that's where God really is able to work with us and mold us into what we're supposed to become in that time of waiting, you know, that time of non-activity, nothing happening. It's like you go into hermit mode, and that's where the work has to come in, right? Because it's one thing to be aware of your core wound, and it's another to not put in the work to follow through with that awareness. And I feel like that's something that was lacking in what he was going through, because he honestly needed to, you know, talk to a therapist or talk to a friend or somebody to talk it out, to get those feelings out, and not trying to suppress them with substances. And what's really sad too is that when the Wall Street Journal article came out, it was like he knew he had hit rock bottom and he was willing to get help, you know. He was like in those last moments saying, I want to go back to rehab. I want to get help. I know that I'm at my lowest, but I just feel like this is also showing us that we need to also not be so quick to think the world of people that we look up to, like, oh, they could never, you know, go through something like that. People are still humans, you know? And so we don't need to idolize anybody, because we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what pain, what nightmares, what traumas that they have, that they might portray a whole different image online and we're thinking they're okay. But I knew deep down, nobody could fool a Scorpio like me. When he was going through that divorce aftermath, I was just like, oh my gosh, you can't fool me. I know what's going on. This is very unhealthy, you know. And God bless Heidi Powell. I feel like she's such a sweetheart, and has a good heart. But at the same time, it's like they had this karmic contract that they needed to fulfill, and it wasn't helping either one of them, you know. And so they did need to part ways, because she was also doing the same thing. It's almost like she was a mirror of him, because while he was dealing with this recent divorce and jumped into a relationship with her, she was doing the same thing because she was going through a divorce from her husband, Chris Powell, you know? So it's almost like an evidence that we can see out in the world of how people mirror our wounds, and we're going through the exact same thing. But that doesn't mean that we need to be together to, you know, glaze over this impactful thing that happened to us, and we're not dealing with the grief of losing somebody that we dedicated our life to, somebody that we actually had children with, or whatever the situation is. But it's just like, we need to also not assume that the people that we look up to are perfect people and that they never deal with these low vibrational feelings, because they do, you know. And it's really heartbreaking, because I feel for him, and I wish I'm not gonna lie, but when he first got divorced, I was low-key hoping, because, you know, I lived in Austin too. I was like, ooh, maybe I'll run into him at the grocery store or something. And I could be like, hey Dave, can we run together? Though I wouldn't have been able to keep up with him, because he was, you know, in shape, and me, I'm not. But anyways, but he was such a good, kind-hearted person that I was always rooting for him. And it just sucked to see him going through this, because I just know what it's like. And I just felt like, oh, he'll overcome it one way or another. But then this accident happened. And that's really what I'm going to call it, because it was an accident. I don't think he intended to, you know, end his life. You know, he wanted to get help. But he also got sucked into social media and the critics and the Reddit boards, you know, the people that were saying negative things about him. And what you focus on magnifies, right? And you make it out to be bigger than what it is. And that's why, for me, as an influencer as well, because I feel like I am, well, I used to be like a beauty influencer fashion a few years ago. And I don't do that anymore, obviously. But I would get sometimes critical people saying stuff to me. And it could easily be a thing where I could feed into that, or I could just like not listen to it and tune it out. But that's another thing too. It's like, the good always comes with the bad, and how we take that in, it's really going to show us, like, what do we need to expand upon? What do we need to work on ourselves, so that this doesn't have power over us, right? And yeah, so especially him being an addict, it's very hard for an addict to focus on something else other than what they feel it's being shine upon on them, because they almost feel like they need to do something to change the narrative of that person. But the thing is, people are going to do what they're going to do. We don't have control of what people say about us, right? And that's why I feel like his last podcast, and I'm going to say that because that's the one that I'm talking about, where it's only him talking, is so key, because that is something that he needed to really wrap himself around. Like, it doesn't matter what you do, what you say, you're still loved by God no matter what. And that surpasses anything anybody else should or ever says about you down the line. Who cares? You know what I mean? Because God still loves you. And that is more important, right, than anything anybody could ever say. It's not going to ever take us away from God's love if somebody says something about us, or make us feel like we're not worthy, you know? And so that's why I feel like he needed to put in a little bit more work after that awareness of that wound, is to, okay, it takes time. Also, you know, time is also of the essence, where you need that time to let that medicine really heal the wound. Like my tattoo. I recently got a tattoo, right? And I had to put healing ointment on it the first few days that it was really swollen, and, you know, not to be gross, but, you know, the little fluids come out of your skin, and it took time. It took a couple of days for it to finally go away, to where now my skin is peeling and the tattoo is showing really nice. And it's like, oh, it healed really nicely, but it took time. You know, it's not like it was right away. And not to say this is like getting a tattoo, but it's like that same, you know, instance where you gotta allow time to heal. You gotta take the time to let your wound, especially a divorce, you know, to heal. And I'm sure it was hard for him to see Rachel move on. I have a feeling too that he had a feeling they were going to get engaged. And that's something that it was weighing really heavy on him. And, you know, I'm a tarot reader, so I pull his cards on what he was feeling that night. And before I even pulled the cards, I saw the Nine of Swords, you know. And the first card that came out was a Four of Wands, which signifies a marriage. And the second card after that was the Nine of Swords. Did I say Nine of Wands? I meant Nine of Swords, which is usually a picture of the right away of a man sitting on his bed with his head and his hand on his head, crying into his hands, you know, with all these swords on the wall, keeping him up at night, right? Like, his basically it's negative thoughts because the background is black and that signifies like darkness, right? And the swords signify our thoughts. So this person in this image is sitting up. They're not sleeping. They're sitting up in their bed with their head in their hands crying. And when I saw that card come out, oh my God, like I almost wanted to cry because I could feel like, you know, I'm an empath. So I could feel like the emotions of what he was going through. And you know, I also want to know, okay, well, what is he feeling now? What does Dave feel today? And thankfully the sun came out and the sun is the happiest card of the tarot deck. So even though he was in a very low point in this lifetime and that in those last moments, to know now that he was actually, as of today, he's feeling happy. Oh, that is such a weight lifted, you know, because I know that he feels happiness now, you know, because now he's connected back to source, to God, right? So if any of us have any friends or family, right, that have passed away in an accidental way or whatever the case, you know, just know that they're no longer in pain, you know? Give me a second. Yeah, they're actually happy, you know, because they don't have the ego. They don't have the mind tied to their soul anymore. They're free. You know what I mean? When you go into the next realm, into the spiritual realm, you're actually lighter too, because you don't feel the heaviness of your body. You don't feel like you were on earth anymore. You feel lighter. You can go to different places. You know, you can talk to God and have all these great conversations. And I'm taking this from many life-death experiences that I watched throughout the years. Because I think back in 2018, I was obsessed with watching NDEs and everything people were saying. It's like a theme, you know, and for everybody is different, but I just know that for Dave Hollis, you know, for what he was going through, it was almost like God was using him to show us how we could even be at the top of our game, right? To be successful. And sometimes life happens and our life can fall apart at any moment. And we could have the best intentions and something accidental could happen to us. You know what I mean? And as heartbreaking as it is, I feel like God is still in control. Like God is still showing us, like through us looking up to somebody online, we can still take the good parts of what they were strong in, right? And the bad, right? Even if he was struggling with a thing as addiction, which is horrible, you know? I dated an addict, so I know. Years ago, I know what it's like, what they go through. And I even went to many Al-Anon meetings and AA meetings. And so I got an experience firsthand of what goes on with dealing with alcoholics. And so to know now, right, that he's no longer in pain, that he feels lighter, that he feels happier, and he's learning a lot, right? And feeling God's love even more now that he's with God now. It's like, it makes me happy. It makes me smile, you know? And so, I knew that I wasn't going to go through this podcast without crying. So, so it's just like, you know, I knew at some point I was going to get emotional, but to me, I'm glad that I did that reading, you know, because I still want to know, like, okay, well, how is he doing now? And I'm glad that he's doing fine, that he's happy, you know, and I'm sure he still watches over his children, you know. I'm sure he's always with his daughter, Noah, you know, because they had a bond. But anyways, so I just want you guys to check out his podcast after you listen to mine. It's definitely worth it. And I also want to get his book. He wrote two books. One, the first one was called Get Out of Your Own Way, and the other one was called Battling Through Courage. And it's interesting because I only saw a clip from Kaya's World where she talked about his book a little bit, and she said he talked a lot about death in this book, and just very interesting. But anyways, I want to get the book soon because I want to read these books, you know, because he was somebody that I looked up to. He was like a mentor to me. And it's just that I knew that he was going through it. And I was always rooting for him. Like, okay, you're going to make it somehow, even though you're getting hit left and right with all these obstacles. And yet, through everything, I feel like his legacy is still living on in a different way. Because I feel like now it's up to us to really take a lesson from what we're learning about how all of this happened, you know, how all of this transpired. Can't even talk. How all of this transpired. What are we doing to, you know, learn from this and really push ourselves to not let the waiting season that we're going through take us over to where we're not able to overcome it, you know? And when you're dealing with addiction, that's a whole another animal. You know what I mean? I really sympathize with people who are going through that, and they have families who sometimes they may not get addiction, and they might feel resentful towards the addicts, or, you know, embarrassed even. Because like when I dated my ex, his family was embarrassed that he was an addict. And what they don't understand is addiction is a disease. This is not something that he can just, you know, oh, I'm not going to drink anymore and everything will be fine. And what's crazy, this is what made me mad when I was dating him, is when he got out of rehab, he went to his family's, you know, Christmas gathering, whatever. And they had wine in the house. They were just drinking wine in the house in front of him. And he relapsed the next day. And I had to take care of him, you know. And so it's just like heartbreaking. Because I told him, I'm glad I wasn't there at your family's house. Because I would have poured out the wine down the drain. And I would have been like, you guys are so unsupportive. Shame on you. Like, I'm so dramatic. Because when I dated him, I did not drink any alcohol in front of him. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't. But at the same time, I don't know. It's just, I just don't understand how people don't put themselves in another person's shoes when they know that person is going through something. But I guess that's my strength, you know. I'm very compassionate and I'm very empathetic of people and what they're going through, and I'm very considerate. So I try to move in a way that I'm intentional with helping somebody, even if I don't understand fully what's going on. But at the same time, it's like, not everybody's like me. Not everybody has that strength, right? But at the same time, it's like, well, sometimes people will come to that outcome or that conclusion when it's their time, right? Even though I've mastered it, that doesn't mean that people won't catch up to that later on in their life, right? But anyways, I just wanted to also share like one last thing. So I was looking through my inbox of what was one of the last emails Dave sent me, because I used to sign up to their newsletter. And one of his last emails was called Challenge, Pay It Forward in 2020. And he was wishing Rachel a happy birthday. She was turning 37 that year. This is like months before they got divorced, because it was in January. And they divorced in June of that year. Right during the pandemic, right? And so he was saying, you know, we need to give each other random acts of kindness, because sometimes an act of kindness can really change somebody's day. And he was like saying, you know, in light of this, you know, we should do 37, because I guess her age, she was turning 37. So he's like, let's do 37 random acts of kindness. And I kid you not, number 11 stuck out to me. And it says, make someone a playlist. And I already made a playlist for somebody, you know, I made one for B. And I've been holding on to this playlist for like the past 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting, because for that to be on the list, I was just like, okay, well, obviously I need to send it to her now, because I did make it for her. And at the very bottom, he puts, challenge, go out and be the light. Pick something from the list and do it today. And what's also interesting is the colors that he's using on here are blue and yellow. And that's very interesting, because as you guys know, or may not know, I've been getting signs from my future baby. I feel like it is my future baby, or maybe, you know, my baby from a past life. And he uses the colors blue and yellow. So, I don't know. This is very interesting. But anyways, I sent B my playlist, and it was only like 18 songs that I compiled together. And it's not like aggressive, mean songs or anything like that. It's just like happy, you know, like, if you're ready, I'm here, you know, like, just that kind of vibe. And so I hope that she likes it, but I don't have any expectations. I just wanted her to know, like, hey, you inspired me. I literally told her that in an email. I was like, you inspired me to make this playlist. And we'll see if she responds. But if not, no biggie. I don't need her to respond. It's just, you know, she inspired me. So I just wanted her to know that that meant that these songs, like, made me think of her, or, like, our friendship and all that. So, and even one of the things he said is, the first one was send someone a handwritten letter or postcard. And that reminded me of when she wrote me a little postcard and put it on my door and said, thank you for making me smile. And I remember opening that, and I was just like, I think it's from her, because I know I made her smile today. And I just kept smiling. Oh my gosh. Well, you're so cute. But anyways, I think that's where I'm going to end this, guys. I do want to do my own podcast about other things too, not just about what I just found out about, but I just felt like I needed to do a whole podcast about Dave, because this is, you know, what I've been processing the past week. And let me read you guys this one thing. I got this from The Wild Unknown Alchemy by Kim Kranz. It's like these little oracle cards. And one of them really spoke to me, because I felt like this is something that we often do when we're going through a waiting period, where we don't know what's going to happen in our life next. And we're going through like a lull of where like there's nothing but stillness, and we can get a little bit impatient. And I feel like that's what I'm going through right now. I'm going through a waiting period. And that's when you just have to go with the flow, right? And this card says, it's like it has a Latin word on the left side and then the English meaning on the right. So the left Latin side says contra naturum, and that means against nature. It says here willfulness, to force or control. And it says here on the guidebook, on some level, we all know when we are going against nature. We recognize it in feelings of impatience and agitation that arise when trying to force certain outcomes. The Contra Naturum card arrives to remind the alchemist they cannot control the uncontrollable. Nature has its way, enveloping us in a wild narrative that we can collaborate in, but not dictate. No matter our efforts to manage every aspect of our lives, the mess ensues. Spring is soggy. The lotus requires mud. People do what they do. This card heeds a warning not to fight the flow of Mother Nature or of destiny. Once we loosen the grip of what we think life should look like, a whole new realm of possibilities awakens. Now is the time to be radically open to what nature has in store for you. And on the bottom it says to ponder, what we resist persists. And that is true, right? Because what we focus on, you know, becomes more of an issue than it needs to be. So why don't we focus on the good, right? And on the side here, it says, think of this card as trying to force a square peg into a round hole. There's likely a solution waiting for you to see it. Shake things up, dance, tell a joke, take a break, right? And that's what I'm saying. I feel like this is another way of the universe telling us sometimes we got to take a break. We can't just be hustle and bustle all the time. We got to stay still, you know? And honestly, I feel like that's why I moved to Mexico, because I needed space and time to figure out what my next move was. And little did I know, I was meant to move back home. Where I often wonder, why did I move back to Dallas? I never wanted to move back here. Real talk, I did not. And when I met B, I realized that's why. Because I was supposed to meet her, you know? I feel like she's a soulmate of mine. And honestly, like, she really helped me in more ways than she could even imagine. Or that I could even fathom. But anyways. And then one of the last cards here that's very interesting is called The Reddening. And this one talks about life force, kundalini, blood. And it's like of a snake. And it says here, the reddening indicates a full expression of the work. Everything is alive. The heart pumps. The cells celebrate. And blood sinks its way through the body. What was dormant has been awakened. What was once considered base is now noble. Aches and pains are integrated. Shadows are acknowledged and interwoven. When the reddening card appears, it signifies health, power, a climaxing of the work, a coalescing of what has been learned. The laboratory is no longer separate from the alchemist or from the work, but the three are now one. What occurs in the body is reflected in the world and vice versa. Through the process of reddening, we move out of the head and into the physical body. More specifically, we reach the heart. It is there the alchemist finds the sacred ingredients of power and kindness. And it says here, reconnect to physical practices that bring you vitality. It's likely you know which ones bring that rosy glow to your cheeks and sparkle to your eye, right? Like, do what makes you, like, do what makes your blood sing, right? Like, just, and that reminds me of my tattoo also, because I have an owl that I got on the back of my hand with roses, like red roses. And so the owl is black and white. And then the eyes are like that golden glow. And then the roses are red. And then on my wrist, I have another rose, you know. And lately, my hair is red, you know. I dyed my hair red a couple months ago. And it's just like interesting how everything's kind of going together, because it's showing us like the life force that we feel. It's like telling us, take life by the horns, you know, like just go out there and do what you love doing because you're alive, right? There's no time like the present, right? And the last card that I wanted to share with you guys, which I thought was very interesting, because I was like, oh my goodness, where'd it go? Because now I don't know where it went. I'm just sitting here on my bed. Where's the card? It's hiding. Oh, here it is. This one's called Mystical Sister, and the Latin word is Soror Mystica. And it's of a moth, which I think it's very interesting because I love moths. Matter of fact, I found a moth in the bathtub the other day, and I just put my hand out for it to crawl on me, and it did. And then I took it outside. So I don't know if it was like about to die or anything, but I thought that was interesting. And now we have the moth here, and it's called Mystical Sister. And I just want to leave you guys with this because it's very interesting. Okay, so it says here, sacred ally, anima, outreach. Just when you thought you could traverse the alchemical path by yourself, Sora Mystica appears. This card indicates a dear friend or sacred ally holds you in their heart at this very moment. With their support, you are able to do what you cannot do yourself. Between you exists an alchemical pact based on the ingredients of respect, honesty, and unconditional love. It's as if you've known each other for many lifetimes. You may have shared an experience from which you are always bonded. This archetype may come in any gender, age, or form. One distinct characteristic of Sora Mystica is that they practice the art of witnessing and listening. They have no need to judge, fix, or give advice. Presence is enough. When this card appears, tend to the flame of friendship. Be a mystical sister to another. And it says here to ponder those who have helped you. And I immediately thought about Dave, because I feel like that's him showing me in my, you know, processing of all this, is that he's listening and he's seeing that I am impacted by his life. And it's almost like, it's almost like he's saying, I appreciate that you really see my heart for what it was, because that's what he was trying to portray to people. But I think that's why he was so obsessed with the negativity, because he probably couldn't wrap his head around, why don't these people see me for who I am? And that's heartbreaking, guys, you know, because it's almost like we focus on the negative and we're trying to almost like we're trying to control, right? That contra naturum card was saying, like when you're trying to fight nature, fight people, fight what they do. We don't have control over the uncontrollable, because we don't. And that's when we need to just really take it into perspective that we don't have to prove anything to anyone. We are good enough as who we are. We don't have to, you know, try to prove to anybody that we're lovable. You know, we're good just as we are. And get this, on the side of this book, it says, about the Sora Mystica, it says, an expression of divine feminine principle, Sora Mystica is beyond bloodlines and timelines. It may be someone who is no longer living, trust your first instinct. I mean, the fact that it says it may be someone that's no longer living, hello, to me, that's Dave. because when I pulled this card, I was saying, okay, spirit, give me a card that's going to help me with this podcast, you know, to get this message across. And for that to come out as the last card, and it's a moth, right? And the moth is always attracted to the flame. And in this card, the flame is behind the moth. So it's almost like the card is showing us that the moth is no longer attracted to the flame, right? Because the moth knows that they are the fire, right? That they are the light. Oh my gosh. And it's interesting because on his email, he says, be the light, right? Oh my gosh. I love it. So it's just so interesting. And then on the other side of this, it says, Sora Mystica is a remedy for the isolation of our time. No matter how long it's been, reconnect with an old friend today. Someone who comes to mind without effort. Okay. So yeah, I mean, I think of B when I read that part, because it's like, I would like nothing more than for us to be friends again. Because I do miss her, but at the same time, I can't control people. You know, it has to be her own free will if she wants to, you know, be friends again or whatever. So I'm not trying to fight the flow, right? I'm not trying to go against nature. I'm just letting it flow and letting it be what it be. And for the whole thing with Dave, it's like, I want to work on me. I want to work on how I can elevate my life further, because he's actually fueling me, right? To not act like I have all the time in the world, because we don't. We honestly don't. And that's also part of the reason why I sent her that playlist, because I've been holding on to this playlist for 3 weeks. And for what? Like, what good is it doing just sitting there? I mean, yeah, it's something that helps me. But at the same time, I wanted it to, like, help her in a way, if anything. Like, yeah, we may not be talking anymore, but if this somehow could be the bridge for us to reconnect again, then I'm going to do it, because I also felt like that was the universe's way of showing me through Dave, you know, like even in his death, he was still helping me to be the light, right? Oh, I love it. So I think I'm going to end it here, guys. Probably going to finish crying. not going to lie, but I have cried a lot for Dave, and not gonna get emotional again, but I felt like I lost a friend. And it sucks. It really sucks, but oof. We need to, like, reconnect with people that still made an impact in our lives and we still think about, and we can still reach out to them and say, hey, I miss you, let's hang out, you know? Because we don't have tomorrow. We don't. Tomorrow's never promised. And what's another thing that one of Dave's quotes that I wanted to leave you guys with? One of his last quotes was out of his book, Get Out of Your Own Way. It says here from him, it says, the only thing that defines what you can become is you. And that's true, because we are the ones who tell our story. We are the ones who define our character and who we are and what we bring to the table. Like, that's really who matters, right? Like, whose opinion matters at the end of the day, not anybody else's critiques of us or anything. We are the ones who are the way showers of our lives, right? We are the ones who dictate what our narrative should be, right? We take our power back and not put it on anybody else, because it's outside of us. It's outside of our control. We have control of our own way of living and how we see ourselves, right? And for him to say that, it's like perfect, because the only thing that defines what you can become is you. You are the one who can define who you are. that's the only thing that defines you, is what you say about yourself. So please be kind to yourself, right? Be loving to yourself. Love yourself unconditionally. Because once you do that, the world will follow, right? The world will follow suit and love you because you love you. But if you don't love you, the world's going to reflect that back to you, you know? So I feel like I need a drink. I'm kidding. But anyways, yeah, so I think I'm gonna leave it here. This is a very heavy podcast, but I feel like I needed to get it out. It took me a couple of days because I still wanted to gather myself, and like my thoughts were all over the place, but I feel like I did a fairly good job. So if this also impacted you, or you have something you'd like to say, definitely leave me a voice memo on my Spotify. You can record like a 60-second response and I can share it on here as well. But thank you guys for listening, and I'll catch you guys on the next episode.